More alive than I have been in my whole entire life. I can see these people's ears perk up as I begin to spaz with the pen. I'm a little bit sicker than most.
Welcome back to the show, Midday with Trey and BK, a Tuesday edition. We thank you so much for spending a couple of hours of your Tuesday with us. Hope it's going well, man. If you're just tuning in, we talked about some Texas basketball. The Longhorns maybe sinking their tournament hopes last night with a 74-73 crushing double overtime loss at the Irwin Center to Baylor. Five games to go in the regular season for Texas. I think Texas fans, Trey and I, and a lot of people agree that the Horns need to go at least 3-2 in those five games to feel okay about making an NCAA tournament or getting an NCAA tournament bid. Anything less than that, and you are squirming in your seat come conference tournament time and selection Sunday. Talked about that a little bit, and the bet payoff. I'm about to send Trey some pictures to tweet out. We'll probably do it during the next break. About the transition from pale to very dark to kind of tan that I experienced over 24 hours yesterday, getting my first ever spray tan for losing the pick'em contest bet that we had.
I have to admit, man, it looks good now. It didn't look good
yesterday.
No way. I was looking forward to you having to walk around like that for the rest of the week, but it looks respectable now.
It's like it's Overweight Tuesday tonight. So I might go out and hit the town a little bit.
Overweight Tuesday.
And then tomorrow is Valentine's Day. I mean, I might hit the back-to-back midweek downtown trips, and you guys are telling me I'm looking okay. Like, I don't know what the ladies are going to think, right? I haven't seen any women outside of our sales department since I got this thing done.
This is going to help your game. Just hide your palms. And
yeah,
your
I got to find something
okay
to do about this.
I was expecting much worse.
Yeah, me too.
I was expecting a lot worse.
It was so bad yesterday.
Yeah. It was so bad.
It was terrible.
We'll tweet
yesterday
out. We had to, kind of filter out a couple of pictures that we can't send because they would just ruin my career.
I can't send out any of the pictures of the baby powder.
No, sorry.
Just going to have to stay on my phone for the rest of time.
Yeah, ask Trey about that if you see him out in public. But it's a mess. It's bad.
Hey, by the way, real
yes
quick before we get to the NBA, you just got a glimpse of the cupcakes that Michael Griffin and Brian Rocpo are slinging at GG's.
Those guys
cupcakes
are football players. What the hell is that? Those look incredible.
How good do those look?
We're going to get to eat those?
Yeah,
yep,
during the interview.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm excited for that.
That's coming up at noon.
Noon o'clock, Central Standard Time. All right, so last night in the NBA, you know, we talked a little bit of NBA yesterday. The Cavs looked very impressive with their new-look roster, taking care of Boston on Sunday. Toronto moving into first place in the Eastern Conference. We had what's been a very entertaining debate this year, maybe the most since Golden State has kind of assembled its super team. Is anybody in the West good enough to handle Golden State? Houston's right there at a game back. With just over 25 or so games left in the NBA's regular season. By the way, All-Star Weekend coming up this weekend for those who have not been keeping in track with the NBA. But last night, Golden State hosted the Phoenix Suns. Golden State's best team in the NBA. Phoenix is one of the worst. Matter of fact, last night's loss, I think, put them tied with a couple other teams for the worst record in the league. The Suns are now 18-40, so they ain't very good. In the first quarter of yesterday's game, and I was watching this was on NBA TV, nationally televised West Coast game. The Golden State got off to a really bad start. I mean, the first quarter, it was a one-point game after one, but Phoenix was kind of leading for the majority of the opening 12 minutes. And during a timeout, Steve Kerr, I don't know if he was just fed up with his team, the lethargic effort that they were showing. I was like, what the hell? You're playing the worst team in the league. Let's go. Let's get the energy going. This is unacceptable. He just let Andre Iguodala, I think it was Draymond Green first. He let Draymond Green, who wasn't playing last night, he was in street clothes, he just let Draymond Green take over the huddle. He's like, oh, to hell with this, you coach. And over the course of the game, during every timeout, Steve Kerr wasn't in the huddles. It went from Draymond to David West to Andre Iguodala. And those dudes were drawing up plays on the whiteboard and like coaching themselves. They're coaching their own team. And it worked.
I was about to say.
Golden State won 129-83. It's 46 points. They dominated after the first quarter. Like, since that moment, it was like an incredible coaching tactic by Steve Kerr. You know, it's a regular season game. You're playing the worst team in the league. You don't have to make too many adjustments or anything like that. But it just got his guys to wake up. They bought into their own systems and started playing for each other. They ended up winning by 46 points. How about that from the coach of the year, Steve Kerr?
Steve Kerr is such a good coach. Man. I mean, this is such a zen-like move by him. After the game, he said it's their team. They have to take ownership of it. As a coaches, our job is to nudge them, guide them. We don't want to control them. They determine their own fate. I don't feel like we focused well at all in the last month, and it just seemed like the right thing to do. And we've heard him being critical of this team, owners of the best record in the entire NBA right now. In the last couple of weeks, he's talked about how they've just been too aggro about things at times. This is a team that is known for picking up technicals and just picking up senseless, kind of losing your head in the moment fouls, mm-hmm. and Steve Kerr isn't afraid to call them out for that.
No doubt about it. Maybe that'll it's hard to say, like, wake Golden State up or spark them, because they're 44-13 on the year, but they haven't been playing to their fullest potential last couple of weeks. But man, that was just crazy to see. I don't remember a time where a coach has completely just let his players take over in the huddle and call plays and just decide the outcome of the game. And hell, I think one of those guys come and coach the Texas offense. Like, we get like David West in here, since he doesn't play too much on Golden State. Can he draw up the plays in the huddle for Shaka Smart and company?
I feel like Tom Penders used to do that back in the day, but it wasn't necessarily something for effect. It was more just a general indifference at any given point in the game.
He's just getting bored, getting tired.
Something like that.
You guys do this crap. I'm out of here. So, you know, there's two sides to the story, right? The Golden State players, they loved it. They talked about it after the game, and you mentioned what Steve Kerr had to say. Phoenix, not so much. Jared Dudley, who somehow, some way, is still in the NBA.
Wow.
He's had like a 10-year career. That dude is keep getting them checks guy. He said to ESPN after the event of Steve Kerr letting his players coach, said, quote, "It shows a lack of respect for an opponent. But maybe right now we don't deserve respect. When you keep getting beat by 40, teams won't respect you. It's up to us to change that." So maybe there's a little bit of accuracy. Maybe it can be seen as a lack of respect. But Jared Dudley did follow that up with some truth. And it's like, oh, you're getting beat by 40. You're the worst team in the NBA. Maybe you don't deserve it.
It's the whole notion of, if you want a team to stop scoring touchdowns on you at the end of a blowout, then you have to stop
them. Yeah, if you want them to stop celebrating, stop letting them into the end zone, right?
Now, there is a degree, though, where it does go a little bit overboard. If a team is clearly overmatched physically and are just beaten down at the end of the game, if they've suffered a number of injuries, yeah, let off the gas just a little bit. But last night, if anything, he was giving Phoenix more of a chance to win the game.
I had no problem.
By taking himself out of
it. This isn't a case of like a high school team beating another high school team like 100-0.
No, it's not.
This isn't like that type of sportsmanship or lack of respect. I had no problem with Steve Kerr doing this, and it's a coaching tactic, right? He's trying to get his guys to buy in and play for each other a little bit more. And it worked. It woke them up. We'll see how Golden State responds. I mean, it was against Phoenix, so they're going to win that game regardless of, you know, if you and I are coaching, they're going to win that game with the roster that they have. But it worked, and maybe it's going to spark Golden State to go on a little bit of a run here moving forward.
All right, that is it for the 10 o'clock hour. Coming up next, we talk Fat Tuesday, Tender Time, and Audio of the Week. Plus, at noon, Michael Griffin and Brian Arakpo join us to talk football, cupcakes, and more. You're listening to Midday with Trey and BK on the Horn. Hour number two of Midday with Trey and BK. At 11:50, our Audio of the Week includes impassioned Little League speeches and Gronk making a 911 call. At 11:30, it's Tinder Time. What's a headline in today's Tinder Time, Wags?
Chicago news station mistakes the Olympics for a sponsor.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one. And in mere minutes, it's
great
Tuesday.
Restaurant.
What do you want to see your team give up for Lent? We share our answers. I'm Trey Elling. He is Brad Kellner. He is Adam Wagner. Text us, 337-3776. That's the Specs text line. Follow us on Twitter. He's at Brad Kellner. I am at Courtesy Wave. Wags is at Not the Fake Wags. And I think that covers the bases, BK. I'm going to tweet out a side-by-side photo of you before the shower last night, then you after the shower,
yes,
to avoid the really dark photo of you post-spray yesterday where you were also covered with baby powder, because that is something that would haunt you about 5 years from
now. Yeah, that's we just can't have that surfacing on the interwebs.
No.
That doesn't just hurt me or my career. That, like, goes through your whole family name. I mean, that's like when Madame Zeroni cursed Shia LaBeouf's family in the movie Holes for generations and forever and eternity. When he didn't, when his like great grandpa didn't return for Madame Zeroni, am I speaking any English to y'all? Does anyone get this reference? Does one person out there listening get this reference from the movie Holes?
I'm sure one person out there does. I know of the movie. I've never seen the movie before. It was a little bit beyond my time in terms of movies geared towards kids, considering I was in my mid-20s at the time.
I mean, I talk out of my ass a lot, and I just come up with stuff off the top of my head from time to time, and a lot of time it makes no sense. That had to be near the top of references that just made no sense. And how is that the only movie I've seen? Anyways, that's something that would just, like, hamper my family name forever, right? Like, I don't plan on having any kids, but my sisters do. Like, their kids are going to be affected by that. My parents, cousins, aunts, uncles. Like, that picture just can't go out there. It's a problem. But we'll, the ones we'll send out, it'll give you a good display, good description of what went down yesterday.
Yeah, this show already does enough to shame your family's name.
It does. It really does.
Papa K, Shoshana, we love you. And they watched on in horror as you got the spray tan yesterday. They were throwing comments, as were plenty of other people when we Facebook Live. You can actually go back and watch that video. You don't even have to be logged into Facebook to do so. Just go to the Horns Facebook page, and it is one of the top posts. So it's I think it's worth watching.
There you go.
You see the transformation. You get to see BK take the shirt off, see the 23-year-old dad bod, and then also Amanda spraying your...
I'm yoked, man. I don't know if you're talking about dad bod.
You're pale skin dark.
Yoked. All right, this is your bit. I'm going to let you introduce this here.
Okay.
So today is Fat Tuesday.
It is.
Do either of you guys celebrate or partake in Fat Tuesday? I don't really know. I don't really know what this is.
I went to Mardi Gras in New Orleans the weekend before Fat Tuesday for 5 or 6 years in a row and had a blast doing that. But as far as Fat Tuesday itself, I feel like this is a Catholic holiday.
Okay.
And I'm not Catholic. Never was Catholic.
So what do you do? Is this just like a party day? It's the day before Lent starts, so you just go all out. It's like the end of Mardi Gras and you just get as hammered and whatever as you possibly can?
Just think, well, this doesn't really qualify for you, but somebody like myself who maybe decides to change how they're eating or get more exercise at the start of the new year. Well, you finish off December strong in terms of trying to eat like a total fat ass and consume whatever it is that you really want to and be as dormant as possible with the exercise. And then once it gets to January 1st, you really hit things hard. Well, for people who celebrate Fat Tuesday and Mardi Gras and to do put themselves through Lent, what Fat Tuesday is it's the day where you're just kind of...
It's the last day.
Kind of being a fat kid for the day.
There you go.
You're drinking way too much. You're eating way too much. But once it hits midnight, all that goes away. And you spend 40 days giving something up in order to exhibit self-control, in order to prove to yourself, and in some people's cases, others, that you are stronger than the vice. And so for me, I've actually put myself through things like this before, just on my own volition, because I like to show that I am stronger than whatever the vice is. There are plenty of examples for me. I've stopped cussing before. I'm a chronic cusser. I love cussing.
Yep.
But I went 40 days not cussing. Every time I cussed, I had to throw a dollar in the tip jar. Boy, I had a lot of money at the end of that 40 days.
Jeez, where did that money go?
I spent it on a vacation, I think.
That's... What? You spend it on yourself. I thought the whole point of it is like you're punishing yourself, so you got to lose the money.
I've quit drinking. I've quit
subject change.
Smoking the marijuana. Quit smoking cigarettes for good.
Nice, good.
I've also quit consciously mastering my own domain, if you get what I'm saying there.
So if you were debating, you were a master before, and now you're not the master debater.
Yes, went 40 days without doing that consciously.
What are you doing? You're giving up some great things.
A lot of vivid dreams.
Why is
that?
40
days.
I mean, why are you giving up great things?
Because I was settling as a single guy. I was settling.
Yeah, you're settling by not doing that.
Yeah, but I was.
You're missing out on life, man.
In terms of the women that I was bringing home at the time, I was settling, so I needed to refocus, and that did allow me to refocus.
Really?
Less homely looking girls being brought home. Heifers being brought home after that.
Easy. Don't be talking about my women like that. So you've tried everything, alcohol, weed, all that stuff. Gosh, man, I've never done it. I mean, obviously, as a Jew, I've never had to celebrate this. Passover is bad enough where I have to go like 8 days without any bread or grain-like products. I mean, that is miserable for me.
That's a version of it.
Yeah,
seriously, considering the things that you're giving up right there, that is something that matters. That absolutely
counts. It's the worst 8 days of the year. Like, there's a day we have to fast, of course, Yom Kippur, and people are like, God, that must suck. It's like, dude, I'd rather fast for 8 separate days over the course of the year than have to go breadless Joe Jackson for 8 days. That's horrible.
Breadless isn't that bad.
But it's like everything. It's like rice and lentils.
It's all carbs.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Oh, you have to give up legumes, too.
They're legumes, yeah, not lentils.
Okay.
Legumes.
So you have to give up lentils and beans.
Corn
you can't
syrup.
Eat any of that?
Supposed to give up corn syrup.
Yeah.
That's in everything. What is corn syrup not in?
It really is in everything.
Gosh, look at the back of anything that has any taste to it. There's corn syrup in there.
Bread, condiments. Yeah, corn syrup is in a lot of different things. It's what allows this country to put sugar in so many different types of things.
I might try this year, though. I might try this Well, I take suggestions from the people of what I should give up for 40 days for Lynn. I might give this a go so I can be like you people out there.
What about giving up sex for 40 days?
See, why would I do that? It's just stupid. There's no need to prove that I can do that. If I go through a cold stretch, then that's, there you go.
What about giving up?
I've done that before.
What about giving up being supremely confident in your abilities for 40 days?
Impossible. That's just how I am. Yeah,
Taco Bell.
Ridiculous.
Taco Bell,
that's not a problem. Like, it has to be something that it's a vice, right?
What do you consider to be your vices?
Something that you think is a problem that you want to see if you can go 40 days without. I don't think Taco Bell is a problem. It's delicious.
How about not giving up sex, but how about you stop bringing home heifers for 40 days? You only bring home skinny girls.
I have to go to their house? I have to go to their farms this time? We got to think about that. People will suggest stuff. I don't know, man. I do everything right. I don't do anything wrong. So why would I try to give something up?
I'm trying to think of your habits. I mean, you watch a lot of sports on television.
Not giving that up.
Maybe you go 40 days with only having one television
on. Stop. Just stupid. I mean, this is just ridiculous here. Hey, come on. I'm not giving that up. That's great.
What else do you do that's habitual?
I can't go like 40 days without naps or...
Yes, 40 days without...
I'll be dead by day 7. All right, well, I'll think of something. All right, so, Wags, what about you? You ever taken a part of this Fat Tuesday bit?
Yeah, I've given up, like, soda before.
Okay.
I don't have the willpower anymore.
No, you're done. All right, interesting. Okay, so we've turned this into sports.
You don't drink soda, and you're not really a big
soda.
Sweets person
either. Yeah, hardly ever eat sweets or drink soda. I mean, fast food would be the one thing that people would probably suggest, but I don't really want to give that up. I'm not addicted to fast food by any stretch.
Oh, really?
I just need it, man. I just need it. All the time, man. But that's it. I'm not addicted. No, not at all.
But the question as it pertains to sports radio is we all have our favorite teams. This is Longhorn Country, of course. So we have plenty of things we could come up with for the basketball team currently or perhaps the football team based on last season or what we expect in 2018 of things you want to see your team give up for at least 40 days, if not just going forward.
I've got one.
Okay.
For this year's Texas basketball team, let's go 1950s, 1960s basketball before the installation of the three-point line. Let's just give up the three
like
for 40 days.
I like it.
For Texas basketball. I can get down with that.
I like it.
And this team can't make them anyways. They're just wasting possessions. They're going 3 of 19 from downtown last night. Might as well just not shoot them.
Okay.
It's not a good percentage for me.
Wags, you're a Longhorn fan. You're an Orioles fan. Do you have anything that you want to see one of your teams give up for Lent?
I would like to give up Peter Angelos for not just for Lent, but for all time.
There you go.
And Dan Duque, get out all front office.
Orioles brass.
Get rid
of the Orioles brass.
Okay.
For me, and this is the obvious one for the Cowboys, Jerry Jones to not be the GM because, the draft's not coming up within 40 days, I don't think. Now, Easter's before the draft this year. The combine, I guess. I don't know. Just Jerry Jones, if he could give that up forever. If this is like one of those habits, you give it up for Lent, you're like, oh, I don't need this anymore. If Jerry Jones could do that with the GM duties of the Dallas Cowboys, so, you know, maybe this team would start winning some games. Yeah, I get down with that.
I've got one as a Longhorn football fan.
Sure.
I'd like to see Tom Herman give up the idea of Tim Beck as an offensive coordinator and play caller for Lent.
Thanks, Coach. What about, it's not squinting.
He loves squinting.
When you're in the
sure.
film room. What about that? That's a good thing to give up for Lent.
Agreed.
Let's see. For me, you know what? Texas football. How about on 3rd and 2 or 3rd and 1 next year, stop running it with your quarterback and use your damn running back?
That QB follow play.
Can we stop the QB power, please? Like, the future of your program, just letting him run amongst the trees with no offensive line help. Why don't you just use your running backs if you're trying to run the football in 3rd and short? It just seems pretty Captain Obvious to me. Get rid of that.
Specs text line is 337-3776. This isn't nice, whoever sent this in. Dylan Osetkowski should maybe consider giving up sweets for 40 days.
Ooh.
Come on. He has
called him fat?
He has gained a little bit of weight this season. Maybe that's part of the problem.
Yeah, he should give up the three ball. He should just start being a little bit more aggressive. Dylan Osetkowski, that'd be nice to see. Well, he should give up the cornrows and the braids, which he's gone away from that the last two games, but he should just stop changing his hair for the next 40 days.
Somebody has a good idea for you for actual Lent.
You, Darvish, or for me?
For you, Darvish, and for you. For you, Brad Kellner,
thank you.
It is read a chapter of a book every day for 40 days.
I'm not giving something up.
Yeah, well, but it's changing habits.
I got a great book. It's called The Death of the BCS. You'd actually enjoy it.
Oh, I got to read, man. You know how I feel about that.
I think that's a pretty good idea.
Man.
I would say the
trying to be educated like LeVar Ball or something. What is this?
I would say the Ed O'Bannon book, but we're speaking with him in a couple of days, so you won't have time for
that. I'm gonna have a tough time not cussing that dude out. I mean, Ed O'Bannon, if that name rings a bell, it's because he's the guy who is the reason that NCAA football video games don't exist anymore. That guy is coming on the show on Thursday. Like, I'm going to have a tough time. In between each question, when he's answering stuff, we're going to have to turn off both of our mics so I can, like, cuss that dude out, you know? Very professional of me to say, I'm sure.
Yeah. Jersey Guy says, Lent is not a vice, it's a sacrifice, so it's taking something that you enjoy and giving it up to show praise and honor and thanks to the Lord for his sacrifice on the cross. Yes, that's what I said. That's what vices are. You enjoy those things and you're giving it up for the overall cause.
What about for Texas football, the wide receiver rotation? Let's just give that up for next season. Like, can we just keep some of the same receivers on the field for more than one play at a time?
Absolutely.
You know, Colin Johnson, clearly the most talented guy out there. Can he not be taken off the field for Dorian Leonard and Lorenzo Joe? Can that change, please?
I'd also like to see Todd Orlando give up on the idea that he's going to become a head coach one day and just remain as Texas defensive coordinator going forward.
That'd be nice. That's good that we got at least one more year out of that dude. I'm not too sure what's to come beyond then. Let's see, what else? What else is a good one?
Somebody's saying you should give up just hard liquor for 40 days. Just stick to the beer. Just stick to the Allstat.
It's like, I don't want to do that, you know? It's like, I don't have an alcohol problem. That's what alcoholics say, right, all the time. I don't have a problem. It's okay. I got no issue.
Jake says, how about UT football gives up missing extra points and chip shot field goals?
Yeah, how about that?
Dicker the kicker,
boy,
baby.
I'm so worried about Dicker the kicker, man. I mean, I know how good he was at Lake Travis and how he's supposedly automatic, got a machine for a leg. But there's more pressure on that dude than there was for Garrett Gilbert as a recruit. I mean, my goodness. They haven't had a kicker here. Anthony Farrah had that one great year because of the happenings at Penn State, and he was able to transfer and had a phenomenal season. Mm-hmm. But, man, what is it since Justin Tucker left? And the kicking position has just been an issue for Texas. I'm ready for that to change as well.
It's been an absolute debacle.
The Mavs, if they could just lose every game, if they could give up winning, which they've done a pretty damn good job of that. They're 18-39 this year, so they've done a pretty good job of not winning games. But if they could just go ahead and tank a little bit more to secure the number one overall pick, that'd be nice.
You mentioned the cluster at the bottom of the standings.
It's crazy.
I mean, it 2 days ago, they had the worst record in the conference, and now they're like 7th or 8th.
Yeah. Texas baseball, give up. I guess with Augie gone, they don't sacrifice bunt as much, which is nice.
Give up sacrifice bunt. sacrifice bunting.
How about the professional weather guessers give up being wrong all the time for 40 days?
How about another prediction on Friday?
What the hell is the weather for Friday? I'm trying to figure out if I'm going to Norman or if I'm staying here for opening weekend of the baseball season. We've got three different local TV stations here in Austin, Texas, giving three different weather forecasts 15 degrees apart for Friday. Like, are we playing Lulof on Friday? Is it going to get rained out? What's the deal here? Is it going to be cold? Is it going to be warm? What's going on?
I'm proud of the weather people in this town.
You got me on that bit, man. You've always hated the meteorologists and the weather guessers, and I didn't take anything of it. It's just like, dude, come on. Like, they do the best they can. They're terrible.
Well, it's funny.
What's the deal here?
I'm actually proud of them right now because they're not just piggybacking off of one another. They're actually trying to predict the weather accurately, and we have three different things to go on. Stick by your guns here. Meteorologist, you're doing a good job right now. I appreciate the effort. You're not just copying one another's work.
Yeah. Some other things I know you'd give up is the Texas students complaining about not getting into sporting events or wristband policies or basketball policies being too difficult. Go ahead and throw those words into your mouth for you.
That was another sparse showing last night from the fans.
The students, the bottom student section did, I think, end up filling up, but I had a couple of buddies who were at the game, and there was like one Baylor section up top. That was it. And nobody else even came close to filling up the upper deck,
That's
mezzanine level at the Frank Irwin Center. But the play is disappointing, too. I mean, support your team. Student-wise, I mean, I went to every football and basketball game I could go to, and obviously they weren't very good during my 4 years. But if you're an alumnus right now, if you got to drive and pay to park to go to these games, I can't get too mad at you. I'm not good.
Infertile Myrtle says you have to give up, BK, the confines for 40 days.
Oh,
what does that mean?
6th Street.
Oh.
The friendly confines of downtown Austin.
That's a tough one.
Why are you guys trying to ruin my life? I'm not trying to make my life better. You're just trying to take away my happiness. It's not what Lent is about.
Jersey Guy says Shaka Smart should give up his voice entirely for 40 days rather than it just being partially gone every time
should
he's interviewed.
Give up his clipboard?
That too.
Hand that off to somebody else right there?
How about BK gives up heifers? I imagine we're going to get a lot of that one over the next hour and a half.
Yeah, I was trying to just take away my happiness, man. The heifers are, that's what makes me happy in this life. What else, man? What else are we missing here?
I'm trying to think specific.
The NFL could give up not telling us what the hell a catch is. I know they're working on that this offseason, but if over the next 40 days by Easter they could come up with clear-cut definition, a clear-cut rule of what is and what isn't a catch in the National Football League, I think I'd be down.
I'd like to see college basketball give up on this absurd notion, and college sports in general, that student-athletes do not deserve to be paid for their likeness at some point in their lives. Now, maybe not while they're still participating in college, but I would like to see them give up this absurd idea that is really just getting the universities and the NCAA rich in the process.
Image and likeness, man.
Yeah,
image and likeness.
Simple.
That's how you pay them. I agree with that. I'd like college football to give up the 4-team playoff. Now, there's no doubt it's better than the BCS system, right? 4 is better than 2, but I think this year was a pretty prime example of why we need. I'd go with 8. I think 8 would be great. 8-team playoff for college football. You put the 5 Power 5 teams, you get a couple of at-large, and then if there is an undefeated group of 5 team out there, you throw them in as the 8th team. I'm cool with that. That'd be nice.
How about the Astros give up their 2017 championship? That was a pretty terrible moment for Rangers fans.
Okay, here's a real one. George Springer should give up his World Series MVP and give it to Yu Darvish. That actually should happen. Okay. How funny would that have been if, like, after the game, now George Springer's way too classy of it. Yeah. Hell, every athlete in the world hopefully is classier than I am and wouldn't think of this. Like, if I'm George Springer in the post-game interview with my personality, I was like, man, I want to thank God and my family and my friends and my teammates, but first of all, I got to split this award with Yu Darvish, man. He sucks so bad. He was just hanging in his pitches and tipping his pitches every time. It made it easy for us out there. So, you, this one's for you, man.
And then after you do that, say, dude, Correa, get up off a knee, man. If you want to propose to her, do it in like 3 or 4 weeks.
Oh, how about that? Yeah, sports fans should give up the in-game, in-arena wedding proposals.
Yes.
That should be gone forever. That's not just a 40-day bit. That's don't do it for 40 days if you're thinking of it, and then just don't do it ever again after that.
And to any adult at a baseball game who catches a foul ball, give the foul ball up to a little kid.
Don't bring your glove either. What's the age limit for bringing a glove? Just make the play with your hands. And if not, you get booed. It's all right. You can live with it. Don't bring the damn glove. Unless you're going with the son and you're like, oh, son, let's bring our gloves to the ball game. But if you're like with a group of buddies going to a baseball game, come on, man. Just watch the damn game and use your hands or use your beer or use your cap.
I was about to say drink enough to where it no longer hurts your
hands.
There you
go.
Right?
I like that deal.
Okay.
Nachos. That's always funny, man. Just throw up your nachos and take one for the team, man. Spill the nachos everywhere.
So that's some of the things that we would give up in the world of sports for Lent. Send yours in, 337-3776. That's the Specs text line. We'll read
Sam
some of those
Ellinger,
after the break.
If he just gives up the final play turnover. I mean, I'm a fan of his. I think he's the future of this program still, but you know, if he could give those up, that'd be nice.
I'd like to think we started to see him go in that direction by the end of the season.
I hope so, too, man. Hope those were just freshman mistakes.
Then again, there was the Texas Tech game. But he was also a true freshman.
Was the Mizzou game.
Yes. Let's give up the whole secure the backpack nonsense.
No.
Just let that be.
That's great, man. That's
let
great
that
dance
live
move.
In gift form let's, from Ellinger and Herman just going forward anytime Texas does something good or bad.
Let's give up the Texas is back, folks, sarcasm that everybody uses whenever Texas wins a sporting event in any sport. It just makes me so mad.
Yeah.
It's just not even funny anymore. People just do it to, I think, like, try to irk people. But even Texas fans and beat writers do it. It's like, does that not irk you, man? It's like, everybody's obviously frustrated with the success on the field, but that joke of Texas is back, that just grinds my gears.
Yeah, it's become very cliche, and it's no longer funny. No. It's just an easy way out for a lot of people now. How about this one before we go to the break, BK? How about you give up all of your Allstat beer for 40 days.
Oh, but they're my sponsor, man.
Yeah.
Why would I give that up? That's good. That's good for me.
Well, not just your sponsor. You also love drinking Allstat
beer, right? To stop drinking it for 40 days?
Yeah.
Would I have to drink, like, go back to Keystone? Because I'll do it.
No.
Don't challenge me there. I'll do it.
No, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. You're sticking with Allstat.
Man, you should see the look on people's faces when you go into a bar or go to like a nice restaurant and just be like, I'm looking at your draft selection. I don't see any Keystone Light. Am I missing something? You guys have Keystone on tap here? It's just people want to punch you in the face when you say that. It's good. I like taking people off from time to time.
It's a punchable
comment. Like to
comment.
Punch him in the face, I'll tell you.
Thank you, Donald. Appreciate that. All right, so keep those texts coming, what we should give up for Lent. Hey, if you're giving up something creative or cool, let us know, 337-3776. Also, as a sports fan, whether it's UT-related, Houston sports, Dallas sports, San Antonio sports, a lot of Spurs fans would try to give up this circus with what's going on with Kawhi Leonard. I'm sure they'd like that to end within the next 40 days. Whatever you got, we'll take your suggestions. Coming up next, though, our man Wags Across the Glass will lead us through Tinder time. We'll continue to, I don't know if autopsy is quite the right word, but break down the devastating loss for Texas basketball last night and look ahead to the rest of the sports week. It's all coming. Midday with Trey and BK. This is The Horn.
The way she's always singing.
Back here on the Midday Show, coming up in just a couple minutes, it is Tinder time. In the meantime, some of you folks have weighed in on the sports Lent discussion. 337-3776 is the Specs text line. How about Dez Bryant giving up whining and finally being a team player this upcoming NFL season?
That'd be nice. Some people out there would say, how about the Cowboys giving up Dez Bryant? Letting that dude walk.
I think that's the better option.
I disagree. I mean,
you still want to see him as a part of the team.
Believe me, I am far from a Dez apologist. I have been calling out Dez Bryant for 3 years now. Ever since he got that contract, the first game after getting that extension, he broke his foot. So I don't know if I point to the contract or point to the foot, but he just hasn't been the same player. Now, of course, Dak Prescott has come in for Tony Romo. There's been plenty of different factors that have determined to the decline of Dez Bryant. I think the Cowboys should give him one more chance. I do also think they need to draft a receiver or pick up a receiver in the offseason. They got to address that position of need. But I think Dez will be back in Big D.
Give up 11 a.m. Longhorn football kickoffs, this person says. And this one says, let's give up 10-minute stretches without scoring for men's basketball. I think both of those are great options.
Yeah. 11 a.m. kickoffs, it's simple. If you win, you don't have those. So let's just give up losing altogether for Texas football. I'd be down with that. Yeah, the spurts, the scoreless spurts for Texas basketball. I mean, what at the under 12 timeout yesterday, they had 4 points.
That was brutal.
This was a must-win game just about for Texas basketball, right? Backs against the wall. Where's the desperation? Where's the effort? Where's the energy? And you come out on your home floor with 4 points in 8 minutes? I think they had like six midway through the first quarter. You kidding me? Jim Moore, you kidding me? It's like the equivalent
playoffs.
Of playoffs. Oh, yeah, it's like the equivalent of playoffs.
March
like,
Madness.
On. Terrible. Just terrible.
March Madness? We're just trying to win a conference game.
NBC
Goodness,
should give up
Chris. That hurt. You should give up that impression, man.
NBC should give up Chris Collinsworth, this texter says. And
I like Chris Collinsworth. Now, I did not hear the Super Bowl announcing, right? I was at one of those parties. I've heard from just about everybody is brutal. Now, his voice is obnoxious. I'm not denying that. His voice gets on just about everybody's last nerve. I think he does a pretty damn good job of breaking down football, but if he was as bad at the Super Bowl as most people say, and at some point I'll go back and rewatch that game this offseason or as it gets closer to football season, as much as it's going to pain me to watch the Eagles win the damn thing again, but that's golly. I don't have as much beef with him, I think, as most people do.
Yeah, the catch rule part of the conversation during the Super Bowl is why a lot of people, I think, were frustrated with Collinsworth, that and the nonstop fawning over Tom Brady. And look, Tom Brady is one of, if not the greatest quarterback of all time in the NFL, so you understand a certain amount of love, but it did go a little bit overboard at a certain point.
Yeah.
So.
To me, those balls are perfect.
Exactly. And finally, before we get to Tinder time, couldn't have this conversation without hearing from our guy CB. He'd like Texas to give up sucking in the three major sports.
It would be nice. I'm getting really tired of like when one regular season comes to a close, already like, all right, when does this sport start? Like, when does this happen? You know, like with football, the last couple years, it's just been, okay, when does basketball tip off? And you know, with basketball, the last couple years, it's been, all right, when's baseball? When's first pitch? When's opening day? If baseball's bad, we got to wait all the way till the fall again for Texas football to come back.
All right, keep those things that you're giving up for sports Lent coming. We will get back to that a little bit later on. But right now, it is Tinder time. And the sponsor of today's Tinder time is something that Brad Kellner certainly will not be giving up for the next 40 days.
I like it too much. It's Altstadt beer. I mean, my fridge is full of it. Yours should be, too. I can't give that up for the Lentil period. It's the best beer you can find here in Central Texas. Brewed in Fredericksburg, but available wherever you buy beer in the 512 and surrounding areas. You got to try it. If you haven't yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. It's Altstadt beer. Get you some. No impurities. No regrets.
All right, Wags, what is the first headline today?
Chicago News, ABC, a news station in Chicago, calls the Winter Olympics P.F. Chang.
Hey.
Swipe right.
It's a good spot. P.F. Chang's China Bistro. Little Asian fusion.
I haven't been there in a long time, so I have no
opinion. Me neither. I remember it being pretty good, though, right? It's kind of a nice spot.
Like 15 years ago was the last time I probably ate there. I liked it.
Yeah, I like the honey chicken.
It'll burn
the sesame
twice,
chicken.
Man, exactly.
Oh, it hurts going out, too.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, exactly. Oh. No.
Burn you
twice.
Wait, right. Pyeongchang or P.F. Chang's?
P.F. Pyeongchang.
You know,
Pyeongchang.
Pyeongchang. It sounds like Pound Town half the times that lady's saying that. Have you heard this?
No.
Playing this on the morning show. We'll find it. I haven't made it a drop yet, but P.F. Chang's. Pyeongchang. What was I going to say here? All right. Carry on. Stop before I lose it again. In Pyeongchang or Pyongyang, wherever they're having these damn Olympics. Pyeongchang. Not trying to be offensive. That's the best I can do. They are selling hot dogs. But they sell the hot dogs there with no bun. Like, if you order a hot dog, they just give you the wiener on, like, a little tray. Like, they give you some mustard or something. But
can you keep the words wiener and little tray away from one another?
Is that not what you call it? Is that not what you call your the hot dog?
Do I call
little
my
tray?
Hot dogs wiener? Oh, okay.
Little tray? You know, they give you, like, one of those little cartons. Fine, that you get at a concession stand.
Oh, yeah.
Those little, like, white and red checkerboard cartons.
Sure.
They give you that, and you order a hot dog. It doesn't tell you it's coming with no bun. But it's coming with no bun. It's just the wiener, just the dog.
You're just supposed to handle the wiener with your hands?
I don't know. I don't know if they give you a fork. I'm sure you can pick one up somewhere.
I would hope so. Because otherwise, touching encased meat like that with your fingers, that's not good.
You don't like now, pick don't up go... sausage, though, like at if you're eating barbecue?
I mean, occasionally. I'm not trying to go Bucky Godbolt level I don't eat with my hands here, but hot dogs is probably one of the places where I draw the line. Not touching hot dogs with my fingers.
Yeah, I'm not using a fork or knife, too. I need a bun on that, please.
The bun is the easy vehicle with the sausage.
I mean, yeah, that's how you put stuff on there, you know? Yes. You got to put some cheese, some mustard. You got to throw some stuff on the hot dog. No ketchup. Don't ruin it with ketchup.
And no sandwich king. Hot dogs and sausages between buns are not sandwiches. No. They're hot dogs.
It's a hot dog. It's a separate deal.
Have you guys seen Blades of Glory?
I have not seen Blades of Glory. That needs to be on our summer movie review series.
Actually, it should be in the next couple of weeks.
It's with two male performers, two male figure skaters.
Will
and I don't
Ferrell
know
all, and John
Will,
Hader.
Yeah, Will Ferrell and
John Hader.
John Hader, yes. And so these two male figure skaters, and maybe it's just all the Olympics and the hot dog talk, but they said, "Hey, man, does this look right to you?" And it's a chef, right? And he pulls up a hot dog bun with two hot dogs. Side by side. I don't know. I just thought it was funny. Anyways. All right. So ABC's News 7, right, in Chicago, the Chicago Tribune, they showed a graphic on their television the other night, and it said P.F. Chang 2018. Now, I haven't dabbled into the full story yet, and I don't know if the reporter actually broke that the P.F. Chang Olympics in 2018, but the graphic did display when they were showing the news on the evening news that night.
I think it was just a graphic is what the details of that story was. They got everything else right. It's just somebody in the graphics department had some fun with that and said P.F. Chang. Now, is that racially insensitive?
Can you not use that as an abbreviation? Like Pyeongchang and
no
P.F.
disrespect.
Chang.
There's no F in that word.
That's true. Yeah, there's no F in Pyeongchang.
You can see the reporter, though, after, you know, going back over, he's just like...
Pyeongchang.
Or he makes, not that that makes for good radio, but his face, you can see the face.
He goes like, what again?
P.F. Chang 2018. I love it, man. I love it, but probably can't have that happen.
No. You know, there's a racial element in play there, too. So whoever in the graphics department did that probably got canned.
Yeah. That's a shame.
It's probably an intern, too, considering the state of media these days.
I would do something like that.
I am Ron Burgundy.
Why I couldn't work in TV.
Yeah.
Be an issue. All right, Wags.
Go bleep yourself, San Diego.
No kidding. What's next, brother?
Does the IOC, International Olympic Committee, have an issue with the Statue of Liberty, or what?
I saw the result of this. I'm swiping right because I'm curious to know what the root of this story is.
Yeah, swipe right. I've never heard this.
So according to the Olympic Committee rules, they state that you cannot have anything in your anthem or in your graphic, in your anything that represents your team, any political statements. Right, and they think that the Statue of Liberty is a sign, a political sign. Obviously it is. It represents our freedom. But South Korea and the rest of the IOC ruled that it was not invalid, you know, it was not in violation of the rules, and they're finally allowing us to put, you know, not going to allow us to take it off, or they're not going to make us take the Statue of Liberty off the helmet. Well, I mean, I don't know. This is just, to me, it was ridiculous. One, we've always had the Statue of Liberty or something, you know, in that portrays us as freedom, like a big freedom country, right? Because that's what our, you know,
it's the basis of our country,
yeah, exactly,
man.
Right?
Land of the free,
so,
home of the brave.
I don't see where this is going. I don't know why it's such a big stink this year. I mean, maybe because it's North and South Korea. I'm not sure.
What helmet? What helmet are
it was
you talking about?
It was the ladies' national soccer or hockey team, rather.
Oh, the goalie mask?
Yeah, the goalie mask.
Interesting. Okay, I haven't heard the story before. I mean,
so the goalie's Nicole Hensley and Alec Rigsby is her name.
I guess it's a political statement, right? Or it's more of a statement of we're the best and bleep you. It's America, baby. We do what we want. This is our foundational principles, though.
The
Statue
rules,
of Liberty. That's the first thing you see when you're coming to America.
I think they're reaching a little bit here.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Well, if the rules say you can't use imagery to promote a country, the Statue of Liberty does that. So I don't necessarily have an issue. If that's the rule and they want to require them to remove it, but it looks like they're not doing so. So I guess this is a non-story.
That's
now.
As American as the red, white, and blue, though, baby. Come on, man. You're going to take off red, white, and blue on our helmets
heard,
now?
I also heard there was an issue with the land of the free.
Oh,
with
really?
The statements in the anthem, the land of the free.
Well, we can't even sing our national anthem
yeah,
over there?
Yeah, so I think they're reaching.
I know what we are. We're all about to go the way of the athletes participating that are from Russia, but they can't be a part of Russia, so they're just going to have to wear neutral colors and nothing signifying where they're from. They're just human beings on planet Earth.
Where are we at in society today?
We're at a place.
My Gundy. All right, good stuff right there, Wags. There is Tinder Time brought to you by Altstadt Beer. I gotta stop eating these chips and queso and salsa during the break. You said earlier maybe that's why I'm sick, because of my unhealthy lifestyle. And during the next commercial break, I went and got like 2-day-old chips, queso, and salsa to follow that up. Plus, we got these cupcakes coming. So
yeah,
it's a
you're
great
about
day
to wash it down with cupcakes.
Looking forward to that interview with Michael Griffin, Brian Arakpo coming at noon. But coming up next, our audio/Dave South Homer call of the week includes a 911 call from the house of Rob Gronkowski and the great, the Hall of Famer, the legendary Craig Way. Is being mentioned with Dave South. I'm sure he is thrilled to hear that. It's all coming. Midday with Trey and BK. This is The Horn.
Back here on the Midday Show, one more segment before the top of the hour. Michael Griffin and Brian Arakpo will join us to talk cupcakes, football, and more. But it is time for our audio of the week, and it is sponsored by Tom McKay and Audiovisual Consultations.
Oh!
What was that?
It was that video I showed you before the show of that grandpa.
Gosh.
I had to make sure that was not going out over the air.
That thing is mesmerizing.
I'm going to like it on Twitter right now. I don't want to retweet it. But since likes, for some reason, show up on a lot of people's Twitter account, which is one of my biggest pet peeves with Twitter. Like, I don't care what other people like. But, hey, maybe if you see this, it's just a grandpa singing and rapping in a car while he's drinking, like, Grey Goose. It's unbelievable.
It's so weird.
It's just the weirdest 30-second video I've ever seen. But, yes, speaking of audio, this segment is brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com. That's the website. Go there or call 255-8678 if you want to get the home of your dreams. I'm moving in a little bit more than a month. My first call is going to be to AV Consultations so I can get my 4TV setup done right. They'll take care of you from start to finish. They'll teach you how to use the new equipment that you're putting in your home, whatever your plan is for your audio or your visual. If you want surveillance systems for your home, AV Consultations can take care of you. 255-8678. Go to avconsultations.com, Trey.
All right, we're going to start out, I think it was the day of the NBA trade deadline, or the video itself didn't really start making the rounds until a couple days afterwards. Of course, the Jazz were a part of the trade deadline. They made a deal that sent Rodney Hood to the Cleveland Cavaliers. In return, they got Jay Crowder and Derrick Rose, the latter of whom has now been dumped. But one Jazz fan who had a scheduled surgery for that day woke up and was still coming out of it in terms
of the
anesthesia.
Oh, he was on the happy medicine.
Yeah, the anesthesia was wearing off, and he had his mom tell him what happened to the Jazz on trade deadline day, and here was his response.
I can't believe we traded Rodney Hood for Jay Crowder and Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose sucks.
We're waving Derrick Rose. He's not going to play on the Jazz.
Good. He's no good. If it was like 2012, I'd be happy. but he sucks.
Jay Crowder's good.
I know, but... I mean, he was good in Boston. He sucked in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be okay.
We didn't do any other trades?
No, no other trades.
That's pretty good analysis from him.
I was about to say, that you could tell you're a true sports fan if you can describe the stuff that guy described under anesthetics. That's nice. It's a good breakdown of the Jazz, and it's probably how a lot of Utah fans felt that day.
I have to admit also that people finding out sports-related things while on anesthesia is becoming my new favorite kids reacting to their favorite player being traded away.
That is funny, man. I don't quite get that bit if you're a parent and putting your kid on blast like that, but I don't know. That's just the way it is. And before you get to your next piece, Utah Jazz have won 10 games in a row all of a sudden. Like, they're back into playoff contention in the West. They beat the Spurs twice in this stretch, including last night. Now, LaMarcus Aldridge didn't play last night. They beat the Warriors in this stretch. They beat Toronto in this stretch. All of a sudden, Utah's got to figure it out a little bit. That kid, Donovan Mitchell, he might have overtaken Ben Simmons for Rookie of the Year. He's having a phenomenal first year with Utah.
Little League Baseball was a topic of discussion at Hill Country Indoor on Saturday as part of the Positive Coaching Alliance, talking specifically about parents who are a little bit too involved in terms of them vocalizing their support or disdain during a Little League Baseball game. But coaches can be part of the problem as well, as this douchebag proves.
Our goals are to hit dingers, disgrace the pitcher's family, make the other families, other players cry, and stomp their butts into the ground. Does everyone understand that? Does everybody understand
that? It's a bunch of 10 to 12-year-olds.
Look, fellas, look. There are two types of people in this world. There's winners, and there's losers. And if your dad has said, oh, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, just as long as you have fun, well, I hate to say it, your dad's a loser.
Oh, I shouldn't laugh at that, because that's really poor coaching and parenting, and that probably goes against anything you're about to tell me, but that's hilarious.
You could also make the argument that a 30-year-old man who takes winning and losing too seriously
in
Little League
baseball...
Joke.
That wasn't like he knew he was on film.
I thought he was drunk.
And he knew like 10-year-olds are, they're just going to forget about it. That wasn't a joke. Like he was serious with that pregame speech.
I cut off the beginning of the video where he's asking the kids what their goals are for the game, and he's getting frustrated with them not giving him the answer that he's looking for.
Jeez, man.
Yeah.
How do those other parents just like sit aside and watch that happen?
Thanks to Ike for pointing that one out to us.
Oh, all right. That's good stuff.
And if that's you, Ike, I apologize.
Oh, if he's the dad?
I don't think he is. He said, this is me. He's like, this is me as a Little League coach. I don't think it was really
him. Right. That had to be a joke. Yeah. That's funny. That's good stuff right there. All right. Our Dave Southover call of the week. Sorry, Craig Way. I got to put you on blast a little bit. Craig Way's a legend, and he's the voice of the Longhorns, a Hall of Famer. He's a great dude. We all have the privilege of getting to see and work with him all the time. Sometimes the Craig Way reports, I don't know where those are being recorded, but that's another story.
Craig Way is...
Perspiring arts!
Craig Way is such a legend that I imagine if and when Craig ever decides to step down as the play-by-play guy, he will be the first play-by-play guy replaced by his own hologram.
Oh, there goes my dream right there.
I know.
So much for future voice of the Longhorns. But I got to put Craig on blast a little bit. Now, this was still a great call, but this is the Dave South Homer Call segment. Of course, Dave South, the longtime, now former Texas A&M football broadcaster on the radio side, the voice of the Aggies, always known for being a little bit of a homer. And Craig Way, look, you want to be a little bit biased towards your team, right? You're calling the game for your fan base. And Craig usually does a phenomenal job of staying neutral and just calling a great game either way. But last night... he knew the importance of that Texas game against Baylor. This is the final 30 seconds or so of double overtime where Baylor took the lead and Kerwin Moach missed the shot at the buzzer. Let Craig take it away.
The game could be decided right now. 12 seconds left. Here goes LeCoultre on Roach. Around him, off the glass, missed it. Mouelach will a follow slam. 8.2 to go.
All good.
Longhorns inbound to Roach. This could decide it. Here's Kerwin. 5 seconds. Roach, 4, 3. Driving. Puts it up. Was bumped. Missed it. Rebound. Baylor and the Bears win. How in the world is that not called? Shaka Smart all over John Higgins. How was that not a foul? Roach bumped. No foul call. And Baylor wins it in double overtime, 74-73.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's a great call, but you could tell, you know, Craig was looking for the foul there. He quickly said, oh, Shaka's looking for the foul, which he was. But a little bit of homerism right there from Seaway. By the way, good no call on that one.
Well,
you know, it could have gone, could have been called, but end of a game when Kerwin Roach initiated the contact by running straight into, I think it was Jake Lindsey on defense right there. I would have been very annoyed if that had been called on Texas. So I'm cool with that one not being a whistle.
That's a good way to look at it. All right, thank you very much for that one, BK. Coming up next, we're talking to Michael Griffin and Brian Arakpo. They're all, not only football players and Longhorn
cupcakes!
Legends, they're also owners of a new cupcake shop in BK. We have cupcakes here in studio that we will be consuming during the interview. You're listening to Midday with Trey and BK on the Horn.